In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus doesn't just happen to heal on Sabbath days by an accident. It's his policy. He heals a lot on the Sabbath day. St. John Chrysostom points out there is something behind the fact that he heals on the Sabbath day. And as Orthodox Christians, of course, we have the great clue, and that is Holy Saturday. We know that it will be the fulfillment of all of the Sabbaths of rest that there have ever been, that during his rest in the tomb, he will be at work destroying the power of death over us. But he doesn't wait until that Holy Saturday. Throughout his ministry in this world, he takes the Sabbath day to change the effects of the fall. Diseases or infirmities or sicknesses we might have because of the fact that we live from the world. You see, it's always because of the fact that we live from the world. That's the nature of the fall. On this Sabbath, we hear about Jesus is preaching in the synagogue, and he notices this woman who is bent over. For 18 years, she has been suffering in this condition. This is not the condition that God created us to live in. And certainly, there is compassion in Jesus when he chooses to heal. But when he chooses to heal, he is reversing the effect of the fall, you see. It's the same thing that he will do on that ultimate Sabbath in the tomb. So it's not simply just healing because, well, he's God, he is all-powerful, he can do whatever he wants, and he can heal. Yes, that's true, but he is here in order to change the meaning of suffering. He is here to reverse the meaning of suffering and to reverse the meaning of death. He is here to make suffering and death into a passageway into life. That's what he'll do in the tomb, and that's what he does with the people that he heals. When he heals this woman of her infirmity, the ruler of the synagogue cries out for the breaking of the Sabbath in the synagogue, which from a legalistic point of view, if you don't understand why Christ is here and what he is doing, you would do that. Chrysostom points out that in each case, when Jesus heals on the Sabbath, he responds appropriately in a way that people can understand. And in this particular case, he shames the ruler of the synagogue and those who stand with him by pointing out that on the Sabbath, everyone, for the sake of the care of their animals, takes them out of the stall and leads them to water. The strictest possible interpretation of the Sabbath rule of the holiness code would have those, well, I can't work, I can't go and get the donkey and the ox and take them and lead them down to the water. That would be breaking the Sabbath. But people do it for the care of their animals, and they don't see the contradiction. But yet, when it comes to healing this woman, a member of God's chosen people, why should they object that healing be done on the Sabbath? On the other occasions, two other occasions, Chrysostom mentions, first of all, the healing of the blind man. And we remember that on that occasion, he did the healing in a way that showed the meaning of what he was doing. He took the clay and put it on the man's eyes, just as we were taken out of clay. And he healed the man in a way that reminded us of the fact that God created us from the beginning. It's a restoration. There is a theme of restoring us to the life that God gave to us from the beginning in every one of Jesus' healings in one way or another. On the occasion of the healing of the paralytic, who was lowered down through the roof, and when Jesus healed him, people were disgruntled, the scribes and the Pharisees, and Jesus asked, which is greater, to do this healing or to forgive sins? Because he had said that the man's sins were forgiven. Again, here you have this link between infirmity and the missing of the mark that is the content of most of our lives. We miss the mark by trying to live from the world. We miss the mark by not taking advantage of the fact that God has made it possible again for us to live from Him. Well, here in this time, in Jesus' time, during His ministry, people are living in a way that causes them infirmity and difficulty because it's not possible for them to live from God. Jesus is going to take suffering and take death and change the meaning of it, make it into a passageway into living life from God Himself. There is still suffering. We will still die at the end of our lives. But during the course of our lives, we can be overcoming the effects, the influence, the presence of death in the world regularly, on a regular basis, whenever some temptation comes along, ready to drag us down, ready to make us live a life that is not God-like, because of the fact that we have the work that Christ did and the fact that He has joined Himself to us and we have joined ourselves to Him. Because of that very fact, the temptation itself can be a renewal of our baptism, where we repent immediately even against the temptation to try to live in such a way that we try to exert power over others, or are jealous of others, or try to in some way gain advantage over other people, exactly, you see, out of the fear of death. Because of the fact that we are no longer bound by death. We are no longer bound by the fear of death, because it has been overcome by Christ. Each one of those occasions can be an occasion where this infirmity is overcome. That's the kind of thing that Jesus is doing whenever He heals someone. And so He asks the people who are questioning His healing of the paralytic, which one is greater, to do a healing or to forgive sins? But that you know that I have the power to, and I would put it like this most clearly, so that you can see that I have the power to heal by the forgiveness of sins. He heals the man. To heal by the power of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has not only performed His miracles on the Sabbath, He intentionally performs them before those who are likely to object. There is a place in the Gospel according to St. Mark where Mark says that after having done healings, Jesus cast His eyes, looked around from person to person in the crowd as He was answering the questions that they were asking about Him healing on the Sabbath. And Mark says that by His very holding them by their eyes, He tried to bring them to compassion, to meekness, because that's what He was trying to do by doing these healings. Why not be compassionate for the person who needs the healing? Why not assume love of that person and love of God that Jesus is actually trying to share with those people as He does those healings? But Chrysostom, when he comments on this, he says he was never able to achieve the meekness of these people by doing these healings. Instead, they turned even more strongly against Him and wanted to kill Him, put Him to death, get Him out of their way. And Chrysostom finally says, such is the power of jealousy. Jealousy. We are jealous of God's own power. We want to be able to be the ones who trample down our own sin. We can't do it except in meekness and humility. And that's part of the lesson that we have to learn during the course of any fasting period, that we are not going to be able to, on our own, live as we want to live. We can only live as we are meant to live by meekness and humility and the love of God. The life of God is restored to us just at that moment when we have been tempted in such a way that would drag us down into missing the mark. To heal by the power of repentance. So there is a link between the miracles that Christ does and the way we live our lives in the world can be one miracle after another as we bounce back from temptation and instead triumph in exactly the way that he triumphs over the presence of sin, suffering, and death in the world by his healing miracles. There is one point in particular where Jesus makes it clear how he understands things as far as his healing on the Sabbath is concerned. At the temple, he defends his practice of healing on the Sabbath. He defends it like this. He makes reference to the covenant that God made with his people. He reminds them, you are circumcised on the Sabbath day. That was the practice. In order to seal the law, which was given as a medicine. The law was given as a medicine that we needed because we had lost God's own divine life. We are sick and ill and suffering because we are no longer living directly from God's own divine life. And so we needed the medicine of the law. And so Jesus says, you know that the law is given as a medicine. How can you object when I give someone complete health and completely restore someone on the Sabbath? That is a foreshadowing of the fact that not much longer after that, he will lie in the tomb on the Sabbath and he will be healing all of us of our sin, our suffering, our disease, changing the meaning of the challenge of sin as we confront those things in our lives so that we can arise from each one in a life that we can live like his. Now, this fasting time, the Nativity fast, it's hard to imagine how more things could be thrown in our path, how more obstacles could be put in our path by the way things are in the world and the parallel preparation for the secular version of our feast day that it's difficult for us not to participate in one way or another. It's a very difficult time to accomplish this fast. And so we need to listen to the things that we heard from St. Paul this morning when he advises us to put on all of the armor of God. We are struggling in our life in order to be able to fulfill what Christ has made possible. We are struggling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, the spiritual authorities of the air. We are not struggling simply against our own flesh, and it's a mistake when we blame everything on our weakness. Now, I'm not saying there's a very dangerous point here where you could say, you know, well, I'm being tempted because it's a demon from outside, it's not really me. If that's how we think, we're kind of missing the point. Yes, those powers are involved, but how are they involved? They are involved in tempting us to think and live like them. When we miss the mark, it's not because we did something because the devil made us do it or encouraged us to do it. We miss the mark by doing it ourselves in a way that is exactly the same way one of those angelic powers who hates God would do that very same thing. In other words, we are taking them as our example. We are living in the way that they live against God in rebellion. That's the sin. It's not this particular thing that was done and I was forced to do it by some power outside of myself. No, the problem is that we ourselves choose to act in a demonic way. We're doing it. We are lashing out against others or judging others or doing something that builds us up at the expense of another person. All of those things are things that we are doing in imitation of one who does not love God. The way to heal it is to turn away from not loving God and to reaffirm our love of what is good and true and righteous and noble. Then we're putting on the armor of God. We know what is true. We know what is good. We know what is righteous. We put that armor on and we return to live from God's own life. God has made that possible, and during the fasting season, we have the opportunity to engage in that kind of spiritual warfare. Those are some of the many lessons that come from Jesus' teaching about why he heals on the Sabbath, why he takes the Sabbath day and makes it into the time when he tramples down death from the tomb. We can do the same thing in our own lives and arise from that trampling down of the influence of the presence of death in our lives, but only by way of his humility and his meekness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.